So this morning, just want to briefly talk to you about peace. And our scriptures mentioned peace this morning in two different contexts. First one talked about the peace and prosperity of the city. And the second talked about a person of peace. We've talked a little bit about Jeremiah in previous weeks when I've been here. The message in Jeremiah this morning was from the prophet to the people in captivity. He told them, don't be a drain on your captors. Work hard. Make them prosperous because of you. Because of whose you are. I say whose, because it reflects they belonged to God. Let them see that they are blessed because of you, not in spite of you. A people in captivity would have every reason to be miserable, to be sullen, to not work hard, to be resistant, to be difficult. We all know how that feels. To want to be difficult at times and to not to want the best for somebody else who's harmed us or we find ourselves in negative circumstances. But in our first scripture, we see the prophet telling the people to settle down in this new land, to build houses, plant their gardens, eat the produce, to marry and have children. And then looking even further ahead, he encourages them to find wives for their sons, to give their daughters in marriage, to have grandchildren and increase in number. This was going to be no short captivity. In fact, 70 years, time enough for all of those things. I felt that the most interesting part of this was in our final verse. Seek the peace and prosperity of the city to which I, God, have carried you into exile. Pray to the Lord for it, because if it prospers, you too will prosper. It was like, you're going to be here sometime. Accept this. My son, I wasn't intended to talk about this morning, but my son recently changed jobs about 6 months ago. He's doing very well. He works in London and he's only young. And he went from estate agency into advertising sales. So you know these billboards and in the broadsheets. And he sells advertising and he's very good at sales. But he said to me, he's only been there a few months, he said, Dad, I'm bored. They've mucked about with the whole company restructuring in the last few weeks. And they've messed about with the commissions that they might earn. So it's had a negative impact on him. But he got a pay rise, but his commission's going down. Companies do this kind of stuff. And I said to him, Nathan, just work even harder to prove to your bosses you can be trusted, that you are a good worker. Yes, he's going to look elsewhere for work, but while you're there, give them your best. Because I've seen it, I've worked with people, and you know, as a manager and as a boss, you know the people that are putting their all in. You know the people you can depend on and trust to get the job done. And you value them. And the rewards don't necessarily come straight away. So my encouragement to him was to work hard. Yes, you might feel you've been, things have changed, not in your favour. But just work hard, because it will be recognised. What's that old saying? The cream always rises to the top. Not in today's milk, because we don't get that cream on the top of the milk very anymore. And when you used to have the bottles with the foil tops on it. Am I too old to... No. We don't get them in Tesco's anyway, I don't think, in those plastic bottles. Anyway, that was my point. And it's similar to this for these people. No, Nathan's not in captivity, but he's having to work. But let's look at, we've looked at Jeremiah before, but many people lack the long-term commitment, the caring, the willingness that are vital to sticking with a task against all odds. Jeremiah was one of those people. He was a prophet of endurance. We talk about a lot about resilience in the army. Jeremiah was a man who developed it in spades. He had to depend upon God, God's love, as he developed endurance, because the prophets that gave a negative message to the nation, they were not treated well. They were not treated well. He was ignored. He was threatened. But he saw the excitement of a spiritual awakening to the nation. And he experienced the sorrow of a national return to idolatry. King after king ignored his warnings and led the people away from God. He saw fellow prophets murdered. He himself was persecuted. And then he saw his nation defeated by the Babylonians and taken into captivity. And that's the, in the midst of that, he has this message for the people. He responded to all of this with God's message and with his own human tears. He felt firsthand God's love for his people, for the nation, and witnessed their rejection of that love. Even when he was angry and tempted to give up, I think we've all been there at different times, Jeremiah knew he had to keep going. He was called to endure. He saw beyond his feelings to the love of God, that God was soon to execute justice, but would afterwards administer mercy upon his people. If we think back to our second reading, we recall this account of Jesus being strategic in his sending out the disciples to every town and place where he was about to go. This wasn't just a whim that Jesus did this. We read this story and it's another account, another story in the Bible. But when you think about what Jesus was doing, his goal in sending them was not so they could have great meetings at home or in the towns. It was twofold. It was for them to learn to work and be dependent upon the Holy Spirit. And it was to prepare them for what was to come. Notice that he sent them in that second scripture without provisions, without hotel reservations, without rented buildings for their gatherings, just a direction and a shove. Off you go, over there, you go there, you go there, you go there, you go there. As parents, we often try to make our children's paths as smooth as possible. I think probably we've all done that, and sometimes we go too far and try and do everything for our kids to remove obstacles from their paths, and because we want them to be successful. But when we do that, we don't give them opportunity to develop themselves, their perseverance, their skills. So many parents fill their children's time with activities and clubs and sports, and sadly, technology. And they never allow them time to get bored. Never allow children time to get bored. But boredom is an incredible breeding ground for creativity in young minds. I can remember saying to my mum on the second day of the summer holidays, the second day of being not at school, it was like, I'm bored. And she'd just ignore me, basically. But when you're bored, you start to do creative things. Oh, I wonder if I can do that, and I'll get this box, and I can do that, and I'll make this. And all of a sudden, all this creativity begins to come and develop in our children, in young people, as they have to find something to do. So Jesus intentionally sent his disciples in to these places completely over their heads. They went in pairs to support each other, and together they needed to discover the direction of the Holy Spirit. I think Jesus was more interested in getting them to discover how to work with the Holy Spirit than he was in the outcome of their meetings. It wasn't about results. His strategic instruction, we've read it: do not take a purse, a bag or sandals. Do not greet anyone on the road. When you enter a house, first say peace to this house. If someone who promotes peace is there, your peace will rest on them. If not, it will return to you. It's an interesting thought. What is a person of peace? What does that mean to you and me? What is a person of peace? Well, I'll tell you what it means to me. And I'm sure you've probably all known people like this, but the person of peace is an enabler. We all know them. We all have them in our lives. Maybe you haven't recognised them as that before. My welfare officer is one of these people. He's absolutely brilliant. He gets things done. He networks really well. He knows everybody. He thinks differently from the average officer in my welfare officer in my experience. When I first joined the army, there was an officer, I think I might have told you this before, there was an officer that watched what I was doing. I didn't know he was watching me. But I was doing things and I helped out and I wasn't afraid to get my hands dirty and do stuff. And unbeknown to me, he, at some presentation to the regiment, he said some things that were really positive about me. And for me, that made a massive difference to my being accepted into the regiment, and it just opened doors. That man, Jasper, was a person of peace for me. Not in terms of the gospel, but in terms of my ministry within the regiment. This week, I had the opportunity to travel to Italy. And I got on an aeroplane. I didn't know anybody. There were 30-odd people on this trip. And I sat down, and there's, you know what it's like on an aeroplane. You sit down, and most people don't talk to each other, but we were just sat there, and a lot of these guys, it was clear they knew each other. And then he said hello to me, and I introduced myself. That particular person was a person of peace to me, because he was a very outgoing, gregarious person. And he was just a funny character, and everybody knew him, and it was just, we became good friends, but he kind of eased my journey into that place of not knowing anybody on the trip. You know, it's quite disconcerting sometimes when you go somewhere and you're the only one that doesn't know anybody else, isn't it? It's quite, I wasn't afraid, but it can be for some people. I know my wife would absolutely hate that. We're completely opposite in that sense. But he became a person of peace. I could list loads of others, but I'm not going to do that. But these people are people who make a difference on our behalf in situations. They advocate for us. I know the scripture is about evangelism, but if our lives are about sharing the good news of Jesus Christ and the gospel, then I believe this is still relevant. Because those people that opened doors for me enabled me to have opportunity to share the gospel with those people that I was travelling with, and those, that unit that I started with. So it was kind of a personal piece, but actually it led to me being more successful within that unit. And there's one really, really strong account of this in the gospel that you will all know as soon as I say it. And it was the woman at the well. Jesus went to Samaria and he went to this well because he was thirsty. You know the story. And it was in the middle of the afternoon and a lady comes out on her own because she's not liked. Or she's she's had five husbands, or she's not married, or whatever the reasons were. And she comes out, and he talks to her. One person. But she was the key to unlocking the whole of that town. She had an encounter with Jesus and went into the town and said, come on everybody, I've just met a man who's told me everything I ever did. Jesus found that person who would unlock the whole town. He's God. He's fully in sync with the Holy Spirit. And it's something we have to learn. He did it instinctively. He modelled it to his disciples. Maybe he referred to that conversation. That was in John 4. But maybe he referred to that encounter when he said, right, off you go. Go and do the same. I don't know. We weren't there. That scripture says, when you are enter a town and are welcomed, preach the gospel there. And then it goes on to say, if you are not received, then shake off the dust of your feet. That was a symbolic thing. It doesn't mean anything to us, but to them it was symbolic. It was like, all right, it's on your own heads. We've tried to tell you. Shake off the dust of your feet. And it seems that the disciples were, they learned some lessons. Because they came back, they learned to listen to the Holy Spirit, and they came back rejoicing in what had happened as they stepped out in faith into new circumstances. As they stayed in people's houses, as they stayed in towns, as they proclaimed the gospel and prepared the ground for Jesus to follow on afterwards. The places where he would go. So they must have found persons of peace who opened doors into the communities. Our nation needs towns and communities to succeed. We need a unity of purpose and direction to turn this country around and get it pointing in the right direction. And we need believers in Christ to stimulate this, to listen to and work with the Holy Spirit, to find our persons of peace and to start it from the ground up. You could say it's easy for you, Rob, you're a professional pastor. It's not about that, it's about the person next door that needs you to do something. It's about your colleagues at work. It's about sharing the love of Christ. So I'd encourage you this week to think about this person of peace concept. Maybe look into it a little bit more. But think about, who are the persons of peace where I work, where I live? Who's open doors? Who is that special person that you can see that helps you to make a difference where you are? Because they will be there. But we need the Holy Spirit's help to recognise them. You probably already know them and you're probably already doing this stuff. But let's have a little challenge to go away and think, you're the person. You're the person. Start with someone. Start with something. Just give it a go as you go off on your way this week. Well, bless you.